Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for the listening discomfort of those people in the Five Eyes Network who have jobs listening to shows that they just don't want to be around. I don't understand the appeal of a job description like that. Hey, do you want to listen to stuff that we want to censor? I don't understand the logic there. But anyway, my very special guest joining me from I believe New York is Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Institute. Gerald, welcome to the program.
Hello there, my cousin Vinny.
My cousin Vinny. Oh, okay. Today I wanted to get into this kind of thing, the making of a legend, as many of the people within the truth movement and indeed, I don't know, Is alternative economics even a term, have basically been looking up to you for many, many years to give people essentially not only a good breakdown of what has happened economically in the United States, but what might be happening in the future. Now, my question is, how did that happen? What within your past inspired you to do this? What made you do it?
I kind of evolved into it. At a graduate school, I was working on a mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York. It was a city of about 300,000 people. And I rose to the top very quickly, and they sent me around doing other campaigns in Westchester County. That's right north of New York City. And it's one of the richest counties in America. And then they sent me up to Albany, which is the state capital. And I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 23 years old. And then I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University in New York. And then from there, I was the chief government affairs specialist for the chemical a division of the chemical industry. And I lived between Chicago and D.C. And so I got pretty wired into the system. As a matter of fact, there's a photograph over here, my right, of me and Ronald Reagan. And when I worked for the chemical industry, we hired him to speak to our group 2 days before he's announcing he's running for president against Gerry Ford. I was with him for like an hour and a half, picked him up at the hotel. In those days, didn't have all the security. He wasn't president yet, of course, but he didn't have like drivers. You took a cab. So anyway, I was with him, make a very long story short, over an hour and a half. I've been with princes, prime ministers. And so I got to see the whole scene, what it looks like. And by the time I was around 30 years old, 32 years old, I still really started getting disillusioned with the entire system because I was getting into it so tightly. And the Iranian conflict was heating up. And Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer that all the liberals love, that created the Mujahideen, better known today than as Al-Qaeda, because we had to get those Russians out of Afghanistan.
Not to correct you, but technically today now they're known as ISIS, you know, so it's just like New World Order and presidents. They just change their name every now and again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, but, you know, that ISIS, by the way, that's an anti-Italian expression.
Hmm.
How are we going to sell Italian ISIS when everybody hates us so much? So anyway, Carter comes back from the Iranian crisis is breaking out, and he comes back from spending New Year's Eve with the Shah and his wife and announces that the Shah, you know, the king of the peacock throne and on and on and on, is the island of stability in the Middle East. At that moment, Vinny, I became a political atheist.
Whoa.
Everybody bought the BS, just like they're buying the crap now. We're going to bring democracy into Venezuela. And you got warmongers who have a track record of murder saying the crap that people swallow. Same thing back then. Everybody started swallowing that the great Shah was being overthrown by radical groups, forgetting that the United States and the CIA overthrew the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. Anyway, as everybody is learning to hate Iran, and you ask me how I got into doing trend forecasting, I became a political atheist at that moment. And then secondly, I said, what will be the implications of gold and oil prices if this war breaks out? Because this thing is going, man. This cat's coming down. There's millions of people out into the streets, and they're not stopping. This thing's going down. Carter is full of crap. So I started investing in gold and oil futures, and I was able to leave my job, and I realized that current events form future trends. If you look at things for the way they are and not the way you want them to be, if you could grow up and not belong to a political system or be locked into your belief system, then if you could break away from that, you can see more clearly how the future is unfolding. And that's how I got started in the business.
So basically you got disillusioned and became cynical, the same as the fucking rest of us.
But, you know, it is a saying we used to have in the Bronx. Bullshit has its own sound. Mm. And that's all you hear. It's nothing more than that. I don't know how any self-respecting human being could look up to any political lowlife. And these politicians, and again, I was there at a young age. These politicians are the same people you couldn't stand in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council. And people look up to these little clowns, and they forgot two words with their arrogant attitude. Public servant. You got it? Save your crap for somebody else. You work for me, junior. Hey, no, I'm a senator. I'm a congressman. I got flunkies all around me sucking their way up to the top or trying to. So that's why you have a destructive system, because you only have sick people running it by and large.
I completely agree with that. And it's because the environment is that which attracts the sick, and basically the emotionally and compassionless, they're kind of disabled in that regard. And one might think that that's actually part of what really defines the political class, as opposed to the class that don't have any power, is one has compassion for others and gives everything they have to them and expects nothing in return. And the other wants everything from everybody else and doesn't expect to give them anything in order to earn it.
That's about right.
How does this... did you get rejected or attacked by your former colleagues and things like that with your new shtick?
I'll tell you a funny one. When I was working in the when I was at the Senate, you know, we'd be hanging around, you know, we're young guys, and we're hanging around the back of the chamber, and they got this slob opening the door, these big beautiful doors for the clowns to walk in, the senators, and they'd announce the name, you know, one, they're just walking in. And my buddies, you know, we'd be BSing like guys do, you know, talking about stuff. And all of a sudden, they'd see the senator. They'd cut the conversation off. They'd follow the senator to his desk. They had these big leather chairs. You could blow on them, and they'd move. And beautiful chairs. My friends would pull out the chair and push it in to help the senator sit down. And they'd come back. And I'd say to them, hey, man, what's the matter? The cat can't sit down by himself. He needs some help. And they say, you know, Gerald, if you have an attitude like that, you're not going to make it around here. I said, listen, I said, that's not the way I was brought up. Here's photos of my family. And may their souls rest in peace. And I attribute everything who I am to them. And my mother, may her soul rest in peace. When I was a little boy, before I knew what the word meant, she used to say to me, if a situation happened and it was appropriate to say, she said, I hate cowards. I hate cowards. And when I heard her say that, when I was old enough to understand what the word meant, I wasn't going to be a coward. And again, you know, I grew up as a kid in the Bronx, and I was a small kid. You had to learn how to take care of yourself. You didn't go home crying. No bullying zones. How can they make up this crap? No bullying zones. Learn how to take care of yourself. What's the matter with you? And that's why, by the way, Vinny, we're not going anywhere. Because all the people have no fight left in them. They're a bunch of little cowards. You know, there's this young girl over there in Sweden who's making all the news. I forgot her name. Against climate change. And she made a great... What's her name?
Cortez, was it?
No, in Sweden. Oh. She's a young girl. She's camping out every Friday. She quits school and stays out in front of the Swedish Parliament, wow, hanging up. And she's made a lot of the news. Anyway, she said people go up to her. This is a kid, 16 years old. Brilliant. She said, people come up to me all the time. And she said, oh, you know, people say, we're depending on the young people to make things happen. She said, how about you doing something? You're depending on the young people? What the hell's the matter with you? You're an elder. You're supposed to know a lot more. You're supposed to help lead the charge. And that's what's happened. You got a bunch of cowards around the world taking orders from lowlives, and they don't fight back. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, that's why they're screwing you, robbing you of your money that they call taxes, stealing it, and doing deals with their friends so they can get elected and never have to work a day in their lives and retire happy.
I think that this is a modern phenomenon that's particularly affecting the latest generation of millennials. Back in the day, take care of yourself. Nowadays, you are taught to think that you need the government to take care of you, and you cannot exist without them. And those people who want to get into those power structures, instead of having integrity, honesty, and essentially a drive to get things done and to do the right thing, instead, now it's been replaced by one word, kiss ass. All right, essentially, that's the skill that you require. And in fact, there was a Lyndon Baines Johnson quote that I saw in a video by James Corbett just this morning, saying that the only people I want working for me are people who can kiss my ass at the front window of a department store and tell me it smells like roses. And ever since then, it has been the same.
That's it. Again, I was there. I saw it firsthand, you know. And so that's what we have. And we have a nation. I mean, how people argue, you know, that my jerk's better than your jerk. Oh, I love Obama. Oh, you like the wars that he did? You like the Libyan war? Oh, maybe you like the Afghan troop surge, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize. Oh, don't you say that about Obama. You know, and then we have all this stuff about, you know, what's going on racially. You know, this guy, what's that actor's name? I don't watch any of this crap. You know, that claimed he was lynching, you know, going to lynch him. You know, so now we have this divisive nation, and they call America a racist nation. Get this in your head, everybody. If America was a racist nation, are there racists in the nation? Of course there are. Are there morons? Hey, try to take a look at your family. See what's hanging around there. That doesn't mean your whole family's like that. You may have one or two. So we would not be a racist nation if we elected a black president. Got it? Racist nations don't elect a black president. Got it? You got some freaks there. That doesn't mean we're all like that. Just like you got some warmongering, murderous bastards, and to be equal, bitches, who start wars against innocent people, like Hillary Clinton, like Samantha Power, like Susan Rice, overthrowing Gaddafi with Obama and doing what they've done in Syria. Assad has to go. Yeah, that doesn't make all of us like that. It just makes the sick people like that. But now what politics has become is identity politics, to go after the little issues that are magnified. But the reality is that, yes, there is discrimination. Yes, there are a lot of terrible things. Name the country where it hasn't happened, that the indigenous races weren't wiped out, and you could find me another place called planet Earth. That doesn't mean we have to keep carrying it on. You know, I'm a great jazz fan, the old stuff. You listen to old Duke Ellington. Duke Ellington. Duke. Count Basie. Woof. You look at the way these cats were dressed, the style of their music, the elegance of what they were bringing. And this is at a time when discrimination was real in America. They were the ones that the cool cats were following. They set the sounds and style. They set the sounds of the ear, the eye, the heart and the soul. They were elevated. Everyone, the relatives in the back. You know how many people used to meet other people that got married when they used to go to the ballrooms to go dancing during the 1930s at the height of America's depression because they were lifting the mood of the nation? All gone now. Now it's we're all victims. And by the way, when the Italians came here, it wasn't a picnic for them either. There was discrimination like crazy for a lot of different ethnicities. Of course, we ended up a lot better than the blacks because of the color of our skin. But after them, we were the most dark. And the horrors that they committed down in New Orleans and other places, Sacco Vanzetti, one after another. You know, so there's always been that. But you don't make an entire nation like that because you got a bunch of groups of sick people. You don't put everybody into the same basket. But that's what they're doing now. And by the way, as we go into the presidential reality show 2020 in the United States, only one of all the Democratic clowns out there is speaking out against America's coup d'etat that's going on in front of everybody in Venezuela. And that's the woman from Hawaii, Tulsi Gabbard, the only one speaking out against what's going on.
Something tells me she's not going to be up for re-election when her super PACs get fucking cancelled, eh? You know, that's the problem that we're dealing with. I was having a conversation with one of my listeners online this morning, and he said, hey, Vinny, how many political parties that are of, you know, genuine character and things like that are there that have the ability to win the next election? And I said, well, there's none. I can name you three that have genuine, you know, goals and concerns and things like that just in the New Zealand context, but they have 0.0001% of the vote, 0.003% of the vote, and 0% of the vote combined between the three of them. You know, that's the kind of economic powerhouse that you're looking for with parties that have a conscience going into an election, right? Now, that's in New Zealand. And you look at the United States and you see Ralph Nader, Green Party, and so on and so forth.
And they're nothing. They're nothing.
To have even heard about them is virtually a miracle.
Nothing. Nothing. There's no third party movement in this country.
Yeah. And that's my concern, is principally we would need enormous character. It would probably be some really, really powerful guys, specifically, like, I don't know, Jesse Ventura and The Rock was bandied about or something like that. But
yeah, he doesn't have it, no.
But that's the problem.
The only guy there's nobody out there that I really would vote for right now, other than this woman from Hawaii. But there's no, you don't, they're crime gangs, they're criminals. And I'm not saying that, you know, just as a ha-ha joke. By their deeds you shall know them. Mm. How many more wars do they have to start based on lies? And how much more of our money do they have to steal in names of too big to fail and to bail out their buddies? I mean, they're criminals and thieves. They're Bloods and Crips. But the people still believe in their. Again, when you ask me how I became who I am, I don't have a belief system. Other than morality, integrity, the best I can do. Other than that, you know, people looking up to authority. What authority? Save it, man. Let me know what you have to say. If I agree, I agree. If I don't, I don't. Don't tell me you're an authority and you know everything. I am a doctor. Yeah. The first book I worked on was called Natural Healing. My former wife, may she rest in peace, was suffering from severe ulcerative colitis. And at 27 years old, they wanted to take out her anus and take out her intestines and put a bag in her side. The guy threw me out of his office at Northwestern University when I lived in Chicago, the head of the gynecology. And I'm only a young guy. I didn't have the fight that I have now. And I took his BS. They didn't know anything about this. The first book I worked on was Natural Healing. She became totally healed. The point, and I, by the way, have an honorary doctorate of law from the National University of Health Sciences, the work I've done over the years in complementary and integrative medicine. I'm mentioning this because some arrogant jerk plays, I'm an authority. What, you listen to authority? Then join the military. You want to take orders, take orders. It ain't my trip. I don't give orders. I don't take orders. Mm. I follow what's morally correct and what I consider the law to be a law that is equal for all of us, not the ones they set that shafts the little people and enriches the big.
That was what was brought up on the show this morning with James Corbett, is that there's a difference between legitimate authority and illegitimate authority. Legitimate authority is your parent is there, you're about to cross the road as a child, you don't see the car coming, they grab you and they pull you back.
You got it.
They use physical force, they're being responsible, they're doing what is the right thing, and they have a track record of continuing to do the right thing regardless of how the circumstances change. It is when a man's situation becomes the worst in his life that you shall know his true character by his actions.
And again, you know, we all have our ups and downs. Nobody's perfect around here. But what these guys do is have it, and women that are in politics have a track record of deception and failure. Look at the U.S. military. Americans love it. These guys haven't won a war since World War II. And they got this attitude. Oh, we got a plan this time. We got a plan this time. We got another plan this time. Who would hire anybody with nothing but a track record of failure? And yet we just keep doing it.
I have an answer for you there.
What is it?
Somebody who's loaning money to both sides. Because the bigger a loser they are, the more money you make, because they'll get even deeper and deeper into the hole and you can take everything that they've got as collateral.
Yep. So anyway, what's going on now in Venezuela, by the way, all of the American media is behind it. The propaganda is disgusting. I'm listening to ABC News, and they said, the woman doing the broadcast said, she used the word Maduro's thugs. This is a reporter using the word thugs. They're soldiers. But when France, when they murder people with the yellow vests and deform them with the balls that they're shooting at them and all the other weaponry, that's okay. They're police, and they're fighting violent people. But when it's in Venezuela and the government's doing, they're thugs. It's a dictatorship. Mm. And so what I'm saying to you, Vinny, is that the entire American media is once again selling the American people war, and they're buying it, loving it, and believing it.
You know, this reminds me of what Jordan Maxwell said on a video once. He said when 9/11 happened, he became incredibly depressed with his country because he couldn't believe that the entire country could just watch three buildings crumble into dust without one of which weren't even hit by a plane and believe it, right? And it got me thinking now about national identity and how eventually, if you're an individual and you are responsible for your own actions and you have a sense of morality, the sense of national identity that you may have been raised with becomes a millstone around your neck, a weight, a pain, essentially, because you don't feel like you're part of the same thing anymore. Like whatever it was that you thought you wanted to be a part of didn't actually ever exist. And now what the fuck do I do?
What you do is you start a new system. And I believe that now is the time to do it. That's, you know, at one time I was looking to leave the country back in 2010. Hmm. Down in Argentina, Uruguay, Chile. And I've been traveling around. I was tired of what was going on. And I was in Berlin. We were opening the magazine, the Trends Journal, which is our publication, you know. And I'd never been to Berlin before. And the host was showing me around, you know, what was East Berlin, and taking me back and forth. And by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm sitting at a little restaurant and sitting outside, beautiful wide sidewalks, cafe tables 4 and 5 deep. I'm looking across the street, wide boulevard, trees in the middle, and I'm looking across and there's this beautiful German building. And maybe about the 1880s. And at the same height, all new construction. And I noticed that everywhere I went, I see a beautiful building and an all new construction. And to me, Berlin was grander than Paris before it was bombed out. And I spent quite a bit of time in Paris. And I'm saying to myself, what took them thousands of years to build was destroyed in no time at all by a freak. And I'm thinking of the great German names, the Bachs, the Beethovens, the Wagners, you know, one after another, even to the modern times. When World War II broke out, the Germans were at the height of Western civilization, scientifically, culturally, philosophically. How can they let a two-bit freak destroy this place? It was good. The war was going to end. Did you have to bring it to all this destruction? Couldn't you have stood up and stopped it before you destroyed everything? So I came back on April 27th, 2010. And there was a for sale sign. I'm in Kingston, New York, which is 90 miles north of New York City. This was the third Dutch settlement. There was a for sale sign on the 1750 Franz Rogan House, which is right near my office. And I called the real estate agent up. She came to my office on April 30th. On June 1st, I bought the building. It's on the most historic four corners in America, the only place with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner. People could Google it up. Most historic four corners in America, Kingston, New York. And you'll see 1750, 1774, 1691, 1763. Vinny, I ended up buying three of the buildings. And I launched Occupy Peace from here. I closed down the streets. The other building is a museum. And I had Ralph Nader here, by the way, and Cindy Sheehan, the woman that camped out in front of George Bush's place after his son was killed in Iraq, and Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, and others, Gary Null. And I launched Occupy Peace from these four corners. To answer your question, I figured it out. You can't run away. There are two-bit freaks everywhere. Look, I'm of Italian descent. Look what Mussolini did to Italy. Look how the people followed him. Look at the destruction caused. And I could not be me if I was a Napolitano born in Altavilla Arpino or Vico Quentz. I'm me because I'm a Napolitano born in the Bronx. And that's why I fight for my freedom. And I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I don't tell anybody else what to do. So that's what I'm saying to you, is that it's up to we the people. One person of courage makes a majority, said Andrew Jackson. And it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men and women, Samuel Adams. So now the time has never been better, as I see it, because it's the greatest freak show on earth, and you got one running your country. We could have direct democracy, I call it blockchain democracy, with we the people telling the private, the public servants that we hire what to do, rather than them telling us what to do.
And on top of that, there's the statistics on that are quite interesting. The American Revolution, approximately only 3% of the population had any part to play in the Revolutionary War. That means 97% of the people at the time were quite happy to be slaves, were quite happy to be subjects of the king, were quite happy to pay taxes without any representation. They were quite happy to do that, and they were absolutely unwilling to support any of the people who wanted to free them. An important realization dawns after this. We don't need the vast majority of people at all. Ladies and gentlemen, you always go out there and you try to recruit people and you go, oh, if only we had enough people, if only we had... here's the thing. If only you had one person who is really, really good at what they do, who has a moral conscience at all times. That's the definition of integrity, to be honest and possess a moral conscience at all times, which means the second you stop being honest, the second you stop operating with your morality, you have lost your integrity and you may never get it back. And I believe the same is true for governments, because governments are an aggregate of the morality of society. If people in the aggregate are ignorant, selfish, and don't care about anything, really, what do you think that government is going to look like? Is it going to, by chance, look like a tyrannical, sociopathic, money-grubbing society that goes out and destroys and kills and maims in the name of its own wealth expansion and power expansion? Why, yes. Yes, it will. What would an incredibly narcissistic, selfish population elect as a president to represent them accurately? Why, they'd elect Trump, wouldn't they? This is the sad, sad thing, is that, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the show, there's a good chance that you won't sacrifice anything of your own self to bring liberty around for your countrymen. The vast majority of you listening to this right now, I know how sad that sounds, but we do need to understand how bad the situation is if we are going to understand how to fight against it. We don't need the majority of people. What we need is ourselves activated, unassailable, not willing to give up regardless of the challenges, period.
Amen. Again, to sum it up, Andrew Jackson, Samuel Adams, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brushfires of freedom in the hearts of men and women.
Adams also said that if you prefer the comfortable chains of slavery over the innumerable challenges of freedom, go from this place in peace. We don't want you here. We don't need you. And I hope that your forebears will forget that you were ever our countrymen.
Yeah.
1776.
Wow, that's a great one. I didn't know that one. That's great.
Mark Passio told me that one. He's got a lot of good findings, that guy. And I think as well, just lastly on this point, that the whole origin and awakening story, you've been on the alternative media now for like what, longer than a decade at least. Have you seen it change? What I mean by that is, there's a scene in Batman versus Superman, which is a terrible film, but I remember individual lines from terrible films that happened to be good. How many people started off good and remained that way? You know,
I'm not one to judge in that. You know, as I said, I'm not the same guy I was when I was a younger guy. You know, you do stuff, you grow up and you change. You know, you were talking about morality before. You know, none of us are perfect. And so, you know, the whole idea is to grow and to keep getting better as you age and keep learning more and taking your knowledge and putting it forth. To me, that's the way I look at it. And that's why they used to look up to the elders, because they had that experience of living life, making the mistakes, fixing them, and moving forward. Mm. As for the alternative media, you know, it's a lot of what it was. And you know, I used to be on all the mainstream media. I used to be on CNN like four times a month. I used to be on Oprah a couple of times. I used to be on all the evening news. They used to bring those trucks with all those big, you know, satellite dishes on the top up here to where I lived in Rhinebeck in Kingston. You know, so I used to be on all the major media. They don't have me on anymore at all, because they all become agenda driven. So people with their belief systems tune in MSNBC for that belief system, or they tune into Fox for that belief system. Journalism is dead. So it's all agenda driven now. And that's the difference with our magazine, the Trends Journal. The motto, taught to me by my father, of course he never saw the Trends Journal, he died way before that, was to think for yourself. So the information we have there, this is the way we see it, but you think for yourself. We're not selling agendas, we're forecasting trends. But when you turn on the media, and then again, journalism is dead. Newspapers are a shadow of what they used to be. They don't have feet on the beat anymore. It's shrunk down. They've closed down their news bureaus all around the world. So we're not getting any real journalism. So the alternative media fills a gap, but it doesn't fill the journalistic gap of having people in the state houses, in the capitals, around the world, getting the news, trying to understand it, and then bringing it back to you. The newspapers have shrunk to that much. The internet age, we're coming out with our, not this month, with February Trends Journal, but the March Trends Journal. I give you the scoop on it. The headline is, High-Tech Heroin, The World is Addicted. People aren't smarter because of the internet. They're getting their news. It's only a handful of news that they get. They get a soundbite of news. They get a tweet of news. Everything that you're listening to, even tuning into a show like this, you listen to a half hour, what is that worth? Maybe a quarter of a page of a newspaper in the amount of words spoken that you could read in the same amount of time? So that's what I'm saying. We're getting dumber. We're not getting brighter. We're sound bitten. We're teched. We're not intellectually driven to read deep into the facts. So it's even becoming a more dumbed down society.
There was a study conducted where they gave one group of children an incredibly easy math problem. And when they solved it, they told the children, "Aren't you smart? You solved it all," and that kind of thing. And a second group of children, same math problem, but instead of telling them, "You're really, really smart, you solved that," they said, "You really tried really hard to solve that, didn't you?" Then they gave them a second math problem that actually was difficult. And the children that were told, "You're really smart," they gave up miserably because they thought they were special. And then the kids who were told that, "Hey, you tried really hard on that one," they did continue to try really hard solving this math problem. Did they get it? Maybe not. But it's the difference in how we're raised. Are you raised to think that you're special and that you deserve everything via entitlement? Or are you raised to think that, hey, you have to earn everything that you have, and in order to get anything in this world, it's going to take some personal fucking sacrifice? People are not willing to sacrifice of themselves anymore. They want to sacrifice others. Even people in this movement, they say, "Oh, we need to sacrifice the politicians to an Icelandic volcano or something. That'll solve the economic crisis." I was just like, going, no. You can't win the football game just by cheering on the people on the field. You yourself have to get onto the training. You have to pass the ball a couple of times. You have to familiarize yourself with the rules of the game, and then you have to get on the goddamn field. And that's exactly what this show is about, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this and you're not doing anything on your own time to fuck the New World Order sideways just a little bit in your own way, you're missing the point of the show. And if you do have a moment of inspiration where you've listened to somebody's origin story and you go, "Oh my God, that's exactly like me. Why? What am I sitting around doing around listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show now? I've got to go out and do something against the New World Order." That's the point of the show, and that's why it doesn't grow very fast, because as soon as somebody becomes enlightened enough to become their own human being and an independent vessel of fucking freedom, they stop listening to the show. You know, and what you described there is what Mark Passio called the great work. Right? It's based on an ancient esoteric tradition called the trivium. Now, what that means is, first of all, you find your facts. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Okay? Then you understand all of those facts. You apply your logic to it. Ah, now I get it. And then you have to teach all of those things to others. So it's interesting when you say journalism is dead, because the great work of all human beings, journalists included, is that trivium. Learn what the hell it is you're talking about, know what the hell it is you're talking about, and then teach it on to others. If you are not doing that in your life essentially becomes meaningless, purposeless, and you will become depressed, and you'll start becoming very resentful of all of the people whose lives aren't meaningless.
Well, you know, there was a study by critical care nurses, and the greatest regret that dying people have is that they didn't live the lives that they could have lived and sacrificed maybe getting a job that they hated because it had good benefits or solid, whatever it might have been, and rather than becoming their own person. And that's when people are checking out. That, according to the studies, that's their greatest, that's their greatest disappointment in life, is that they didn't become themselves. I have a line that, to me, hell is taking that last breath and knowing that you weren't the person you said you were or could have been.
It reminds me to think that a lot of us who have a purpose in life, we forget that other people don't, you know, sometimes. And when you're having a conversation with them and you're trying to talk about something important and they're not interested in listening to you, it kind of hurts a little, especially if there's someone who's close to you. Because you sit there and you go, you know, bro, you just don't get it.
Now, I don't care. I could care less.
Yeah,
it don't bother me. Yeah, get the hell out of here. I don't want to hear your bullshit. I don't deal with it. I don't deal with it. Well, I stay with the facts. I'm a fact man. Well, I do facts. Here are the facts. Add them up. This is what it is. I don't care what your belief system is. That's your own business. You believe in a system. It's not mine. Here are the facts. What can we do with the facts? If you don't want to talk about the facts, I don't want to talk about anything.
Yeah. In fact, that echoes an interesting conversation that I had with my sisters, actually. It's just, oh, Vinny, can you stop talking about this? And I go, if you never want to talk to me again. You know, and I think a friend of mine.
Well, you know, one of my lines is, you want to know why the world is so screwed up? Just take a look at your family. You know, what goes on in everybody's family? Oh, no, mine's perfect. You know, I mean, all it is an extension of the craziness that we're all born into. You know, it's not everybody has it so, you know, perfect. So anyway, you know, one thing I'd like to mention, because I'm sure a lot of people are interested, is where the economies are going in the globe. And back in September of 2018, we came out with our trend forecast of an economic 9/11. This is an important story because it's about trend forecasting. Mm. And when people say, am I a futurist? I say, no, nobody can predict the future. There are too many wild cards, be they man-made or made by Mother Nature. You know, you don't know what's going to be played. Well, I got to be proper now, of course, politically correct. I should say women-made or made by Father Nature, because I got to people it out. You know? And so we made this forecast based on the word of the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, in the United States, that they were going to aggressively raise interest rates in 2019. And we knew the world could not take aggressive interest rate hikes because the only thing that propped up the markets since the panic of 08 was this infusion of monetary methadone. Nobody ever taught me in graduate school or Economics 101 about negative and zero interest rate policy and quantitative easing. So they made up this stuff. So yeah, you can't predict the future. So we changed our forecast of an economic 9/11 for 2019 because on January 4th and then again on January 30th of this year, the Fed chairman is now going to be, quote, patient in raising interest rates. So in other words, he buckled under Trump. Because since June, or July, I should say, Trump has been attacking the Federal Reserve. Crazy, loco, you're destroying the economy. And then, by the way, we'll audit the Fed, if you don't believe me. So they backtrack. They're not going to raise interest rates. I'm saying this because there's a global slowdown, an economic slowdown. Countries around, and not far from you over there in Australia, you're seeing the housing prices tanking Melbourne and Sydney, and they're very concerned. In China, a slowdown. All of these governments, these central banksters, are going to do everything they can to juice the economy with more fake money, more monetary methadone to keep that bull running. So we don't see a recession coming up this year. They're going to build the debt bubble, which is a $250 trillion bigger. And they're going to try to keep it going, at least they'll have to in the United States, to the 2020 elections. Because Trump and his son-in-law and the family, the Kushners, they're in the real estate business.
Oh.
They don't want to see real estate prices go down, capiche? They're going to do everything they can. They raised interest rates 9 times since 2015. They'll lower them 9 times to 2020 to keep the economy going, real estate prices high, so they could keep making their dough. So we don't see an economic 9/11 on the horizon. However, again, there's always the wild card, and you don't have a wilder card than the Trump card. So whether they start a war in Venezuela with Iran, or wherever, or with something else happens, the unforeseen, an economic, rather than a 9/11, a 2020 attack, whatever it might be, a wild card, that'll bring down the markets. $100 a barrel oil prices because of war going on in the Middle East that the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia are aiming for, that could bring oil prices to $100 a barrel. That will crash the markets and economies. So just to put this into perspective for people looking at where things are going to go.
It's a sense of deja vu. It reminds me of the 2008 credit crunch. Now, at that time, there were two elections going on that I was focusing, and this was the first year that I actually started paying attention to elections, economics, and all of that kind of stuff. And now I'm getting in a profound sense of deja vu just 11 years later. Enormous stock market crash and some kind of cult-like messianic figure to come and save you from all this shit gets elected and then completely betrays their promises, starts new wars, and destroys the economy by building up an enormous debt bubble that I think, what was it? Something like 40% of the world's aggregate wealth was destroyed in 48 hours during that 2008 credit crunch, or something ridiculous like that. And that was caused by the derivatives bubble, which was quadrillions of dollars. What the hell happened to that, Gerald?
Well, they wash it out. They steal our money again. People, you know, there's this thing in the United States, it's the big fight between socialism and capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not capitalism, it's fascism. It's called the merger of state and corporate powers. They stole our money and gave it to the banksters, the General Motors, the big companies that needed it. So what they did is they covered it all up with our dough. And that's all they keep doing. So it's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. That's Mussolini's definition, not mine. Mm. And he's 100% correct. So that's what happens. And now they're building other bubbles, you know, corporate loan obligations, the debt of the people. What do you have in Australia? It's one of the highest public debt levels in the world. The private person has so much debt. So they're doing, and they only have, I believe, an interest rate of about 1.5%. I'm not positive, but I think that's all it is. So they don't have a lot to go down. But you're seeing their real estate markets, really, they're really fearful of where they're going to go. And so they're going to do everything they can to prop it up. So all I'm saying to you is that it doesn't make a difference what happens to the money, where it went or whatever. It's all a con game.
Mm.
There's nothing more than one big con game. And, you know, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, right? The only time he becomes violent is when he picks up a whip to drive the money changers out of the temple. They're the same money changers. They just changed their name. Goldman Sachs, Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, name them. You know, Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob, that's all they are.
It seems that we... how can I say this? Are we approaching a time from which there might be no recovery? All right. Well, when I say that, I'm not talking just about economic. I'm not just talking about psychological. I'm also including technological and geopolitical statements in this. We've got the introduction of 5G, which many experts have claimed can essentially, you could just press a button and make anybody feel any mood you want en masse. You know, you want everybody to feel suicidal? Bing! You want everybody to have a riot? Bing, you know, that kind of thing. The technological advancement that is going underneath all of this economic scumbaggery and what have you, I question how much of what it is that we're trying to inform ourselves about the nature of reality is in fact a red herring distraction, and how much is actually truly and utterly important. And I believe that the answer to that question is, what are you doing in your real life to affect real change? That's what's important. And what's just freaking you out and causing you to shut down and do nothing? That's not important. Would you agree?
Well, on the 5G, by the way, more than that, this stuff is deadly. We did a big article in our Trends Journal. There's a lot of research out there. You know, these radioactive, radio frequency, radioactivity, it's real. And the studies are one after another. And the same thing with the cell phones and on and on. I began working I did work for the Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association back in the early 90s. When they had these big boxes in the trunks of cars with the aerials. I've been following this since. there's one study after another. It comes out, people forget about it. So people are addicted to it, just like smoking. They know the risks, but they won't break the habit. And by the way, you know why they call them handhelds?
Why?
Because everybody's masturbating in public.
Either that or they're in the palm of their hand. You know, it's just a thing. You think you've got a device in the palm of your hand, but in fact, it is you that are in the palm of the hands of the people who sold you that device.
You got it. So going back to technology, as I said, our March issue of the Trends Journal is going to be devoted to that entire subject, that it's high-tech heroin and the world is addicted. We did this whole thing, one of our top trends for 2019, Generation Z, these are the young people born after millennials, equals Generation Zero. They'd rather communicate, 40% of them, by texting and messaging rather than face-to-face, person-to-person. And we're seeing sexual activity decline. But again, these things also have very, very serious health effects. You know, by the way, this whole thing about climate change, this weekend it just hit me. Climate change, save it. I don't want to hear about it. How about the poisons that they're dumping in the water, that you're drinking, the food that you're eating, the air that you're breathing, and the big pharma drugs that you're addicted to? You want to talk about you're going to die, not because of climate change, because of the direct implications of what the monopolies are doing to make all the money that they can, and they could care less if they kill you doing it, and they're doing it. They're dumping trillions of tons of poison into the water, into the earth, into the air, and now into your body by the high-tech radio frequency radiation. So as everybody's screaming about climate change, why don't you start screaming about how they're directly murdering you with the food that you eat, the water that you drink, the air that you breathe, and all of these big pharma drugs that you take?
I think that might be an idea to look at that. And also, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know a little bit more than that, I've got something to read out here. It's a meme that I made back in the day. And essentially, it reads something along the lines of 16 things more likely to kill you than climate change that aren't addressed by mainstream environmentalism. Radiation, pesticides, herbicides, fluoride, EMF and EMR, stress, plastic, solvents, poisons, pharmaceutical drugs, fast food, militarized police, authoritarian government, weaponized viruses, GE, GMOs, and chemtrails. Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Bravo, good for you.
There's your environmentalism movement, ladies and gentlemen, because environment, the word, means everything around you. Environmentalism means everythingism. Now, if you can get somebody who believes in environmentalism to believe in nothing about the environment or any of its implications except carbon dioxide, which is fucking essential for life, and they treat it as a poison. Okay, so it's like monohydrogen dioxide or whatever it is, the chemical name for water. You can go around, ladies and gentlemen, and you can say to people, this chemical here is the main ingredient in acid rain. It kills people by the thousands every single year, such and such and blah, blah, blah. Water kills people, ladies and gentlemen. And if you can convince people that it's dangerous enough, they're stupid enough to not investigate, not ask any questions, and ask for it to be banned. Now, I've been looking into Agenda 21 quite a lot lately, Gerald, and frankly, when people say, the New World Order conspiracy, the Agenda 21 document is it, essentially. The complete monitoring and control of all animal, mineral, and vegetable life. You know, forever. That's the fucking plan. And people sit around going, oh, no, I'll just elect somebody. That'll solve the problem for me. No, that's not going to happen because you haven't heard about things like the Global Covenant of Mayors. What's that, Vinny? Well, it's about 9,000 cities and towns around the entire world whose all mayoral candidates have signed this global covenant to run their city specifically for the purposes of being against climate change. And it has nothing to do with running the city efficiently or for the benefit of the people. That's what's happening here, is that we've got all these a myriad, infinite cataclysm of roundtable groups that are all interconnected that you've never fucking heard of that are making every single policy within your municipality. Essentially, it's an invisible frequency that we're all living in, you know? Interesting, isn't it? And the only way to get rid of it, essentially, is to broadcast your own frequency to cancel it out.
Yeah, but name the place. I mean, take a trip to the Congo. How about Sudan? You've been to Somalia. What about South Africa? How about Zambia? Yeah, you know, it's one after another. It's the whole thing is screwed up. And again, you know, to me, it's a lack of morality and integrity. You know, again, you know, Kenya. I forgot Kenya. You know, what are the United States? We're in our military. We're in almost 80 countries with over 800 bases. I mean, you know, so the whole thing is just, it's a freak show. People, we need a new system, Vinny, and that's what I'm saying. And to me, the only system is, to me, that I would buy into, and again, think for yourself, is the Swiss system of direct democracy. And they haven't been in a war since about 1850. They were one of the richest countries in the world. Everybody has guns. They don't kill each other. The people vote. You want to put that minaret up? No, we don't want it. We don't want to hear the prayers coming out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, let's vote. Boop. Okay, we don't want it. They vote on these things. People don't know who the president is. So that, to me, is the only – oh, the people are too stupid. The people are too – oh, yeah? Little Mitchie McConnell over here in the United States, he's brilliant, yeah. And Dianne Not-So-Feinstein, just a – oh, couldn't be brighter than her. Or Nancy Out-of-Her-Mind Pelosi – Or little Lindsey Graham. I mean, come on. They're smarter than you are? So to me, the only it's a new world order. And to me, it's not – the order is to put it back into the hands of the people. You want to go to war? Let the people vote. You like this tax deal? Let the people vote. You want to put up a wall? Wall or no wall? Let the people vote. We pay for the wars and all of this stuff with our money and our lives. You don't represent me. You represent the people that pay you off. Morons and imbeciles call it campaign contributions. Adults call it bribes and payoffs.
I think my personal contribution to a new system would be the institution of the court jester. All right. Now, what that means is if you are a powerful lord or dictator or something of that nature, you need somebody right next to you to make fun of you and call you an idiot when you're acting like it and do so in public so you will be shamed for your actions. No kiss asses, essentially. There's one guy, and it has to be a comedian specifically. And the reason why I say this is because comedians, like theoretical physicists, are capable of taking enormous complex equations that seemingly have no relationship to each other and being able to condense it into an understandable equation that everybody can get. Now, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to intelligence of the general population. Now, people say, oh, people are stupid, people are stupid. That might be true, but how stupid would their decisions be if their leaders were always telling them the truth about things? It's very easy to make a stupid decision if the only thing you've ever been told about the subject matter is lies. But if you're told the truth, your decisions will become geometrically better.
Yeah, but again, you know, they're not going to do it. You know, we never had it, and we don't see it happening. Again, to us, it's put the power back in the hands of we the people. You know, and direct democracy, now with blockchain technology. Look, if banks and other businesses can transfer, you know, trillions of dollars in milliseconds and it's blocked, we can have a better system than all we have. You don't have to go out. This is the 21st century. Look at the midterm elections. They couldn't count the votes in America. What a joke. You know, so with blockchain technology, we could have blockchain voting and blockchain democracy. It's time for the 21st century to take hold and let us have the future that we want. Again, one of the trend alerts we put out was wall or no wall. Let the people vote. Yes, I want the wall. It'll cost X billions of dollars to build. No, I don't want the wall. I will pay X amount of taxes increased for each new immigrant coming in. Vote.
And of course, in order to do that, and indeed they tried this in the Solomon Islands, I managed to interview Calvin Alp, who's the New Zealander who set up their government there. And the government worked perfectly when it was set up. The rates on interest on credit cards and everything like that got reduced massively. All of these things were happening really great. But then they got into trouble. They got economically sabotaged. A whole bunch of their big gold mines and things like that got taken out. So it's an intelligence operation, essentially. So at the same time, you have to free the people, give them the power, educate them what to do, and give them the technology that actually allows them to run their government rather than their government running them. You've also got to make sure that you take into account what kind of countermeasures the establishment is going to deploy in order to subvert any of your intentions. And that's the real hard part of it, because everybody's got great ideas, but the ability to predict what a psychopathic scumbag with unlimited money and power will do to prevent that idea coming to fruition is something very, very hard to know indeed.
Oh, you're right.
I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen.
Again, put the future in the hands of the people. If we bring it down, we brought it down ourselves. And again, all they do is the political parties, all they do is have a track record of nothing more than one failure after another, year after year, decade after decade, and century after century.
That's right.
And again, look at Switzerland. There are no problems there. And people say, oh, it's a small country, only 11. It makes no difference if it's 11 million or 111 million. Mm. A vote is a vote, and that's it. And that's all that counts.
That's
and
right.
With the new technology, you could do it.
And even without technology, there was I had an argument with one of my listeners, and they said, Vinny, there's no way we could have anything work without government and everything like that. And unbeknownst to them, I'd only just seen a video of a Mexican town that had thrown out all their governments, and they banned electioneering, they banned campaigning. You know how they make all their decisions without the technology, Gerald? They have every street has a bonfire on it every week, and the entire community comes in, and they talk about all the stuff amongst themselves, and then they elect their little representatives to go and talk with all the other representatives at an even bigger bonfire, and all the town's decisions get made that way. All right, now, something interesting occurred to me the other day is that when people have a, shall we say, a visceral power, and what I mean by that, ladies and gentlemen, is you exercise your will, and something actually happens. When you have visceral power, it allows you to feel fulfillment. It allows you to have meaning in your life. But that can only happen in politics is when the politics is closest to you, right? If you're doing an election in a country of 400 million people, do you feel like you really have power? Do you feel like your vote really matters? Do you feel like when you exert your will in something like that, it has a great effect and what have you? No, because it's too large a scale. But what they found is in this little Mexican town where they threw out all the corrupt politicians and things like that, everybody became a hell of a lot more productive. The instance of depression started to drop to near zero, and everybody started to have meaning and fucking purpose in their life because they had this thing that had been destroyed by government purposely. Community spirit! Hey, wouldn't that be lovely?
Well, again, you could start at the local level and you could do it to the national level. So the cities, again, your local community, you could be you'd be doing direct democracy. You don't have, it could go all the way up.
That's right. And I think the Constitution of the United States does provide a significant framework towards that degree, specifically the right to private property. All right. Now, people don't understand just how important property is until you recognize, as Thomas Jefferson said, if you don't have property of your own, you don't have freedom. All right. Yeah. And nowadays we have a technological aspect to that, whereas if you don't have privacy anymore, you don't have freedom. So I think systematically all of our freedoms are being targeted and eliminated one by one. And I think if we target them one by one and take them back, there's quite a possibility that we could turn this whole shit show around.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, again, the globalists are running the show. Monopolies are in charge. I mean, the names are right in front of you, whether it's a Google or a Twitter or a Facebook. You know, they're monopolies. Amazon, they're monopolies. And this country used to have laws against monopolies until the lowlifes called politicians sold us out. Right now, the gap between the rich and the poor right now is worse, as bad as it was during the Gilded Age of America when the, you know, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the others, the J.P. Morgans controlled the country and controlled the money. We're back to those days here. I have to check out now.
I understand. Vinny. Final words?
Yeah. That you have the power to change the world in any way that you can. And that to do so, you have to be in the best possible physical, mental, and emotional and spiritual state you could be in. And you have to keep working at it all the time. And one of the things, you know, I just turned 72. And something that came into my mind is that the older you get, the more you have to do. And that the less you do, the quicker you go. And now is the time to do it. Because the world is waiting for positive change. And the younger people that have the awareness and the older people that have the time on the planet, it's time for everyone to join together in a new movement. And one of the movements we're putting together is Occupy Peace. And the website's occupypeace.com. And please do whatever you can to support it, because to me, the only way we're going to have positive change is to have an evolution. And not a revolution, but an evolution moving to higher levels of beauty and joy, appreciation, gentleness, kindness, and integrity. And that doesn't mean you don't fight. It means that you only fight to stay alive if your life depends upon it. And again, the only time, one of my great teachers, John Perkins, taught me, the only time your ego comes into place is when your life is on the line. Otherwise, don't waste your time with it. So the people can change what's going on now, because it's the greatest freak show on earth. You got one running your country. And if you think that they're better than you are, then it's time for you to check out. If it's not time to check out, check in and start doing something. So thank you, Vinny, for having me on. And thank you for all your knowledge, kind words, your energy, and your passion for pushing the world forward in a more positive way.
I get that a lot. Now, the last thing I want to do is actually just read out the Serenity Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, because I think it behooves us to use ancient knowledge and ancient power in the modern age. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right. If I surrender to your will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me on the Vinny Eastwood Show today. If you do want to support the broadcast, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And you can start up an automatic payment today, become a Patreon, support me in any way you feel is necessary. You make the decision. I cannot make this decision for you, ladies and gentlemen. You must support the change you wish to see in the world. Do it yourself, or give power to those who are doing it on your behalf, and know the difference. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you.